Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/cardcalculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval, terms apply.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I have let down my parents, my grandparents, and my great-grandparents. Hi, I'm Pete Donaldson from the Abroad in Japan podcast, and something went very wrong with the Abroad in Japan podcast last week if you downloaded it between the hours of, I don't know, 6 a.m. and 10 a.m. If you did download that and it sounded a bit weird by the end of the show, where it sounded like we were literally just talking over each other, we weren't being quite so rude, although we do have it in us. It was just something to do with the computer and me not being clever and probably me being tired as well. So if you want to have a go at me, I'm tired, all right? But it's fixed now. It won't happen again. And if you ever have any problems with the podcast, just re-download it. We will have noticed. We get messages all the time saying, "Oi, Pete, oi, Chris, the podcast is ruined." And so we look at it and we fix it. So if you ever have any problems, just give it a little re-download. Isn't that right, Chris?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Is that all you're bringing to this apology?
That's all I'm bringing to the table in this one.
Sorry, all right,
guys, it's Pete's fault, not mine. I'm really nice.
Roll the show.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by top London radio DJ and certified Japanophile, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how you doing?
I'm all right. I'm back on the pod, in my little box, in my kitchen. So if you can hear drilling outside, that's not my fault. That's the fact that Soho never stops being built. One day Soho will be finished. And one day I'll be able to record a podcast without worrying about the sound coming through the bloody walls.
I love the way each week we get to learn more and more about your kitchen and your apartment in Soho, building up a sort of image of what it looks like and what it's like to live in central London. So glamorous.
Yesterday's burger.
The highlights of the podcast.
That's what you can smell in the old kitchen of me. Just yesterday's burgers.
Oh dear.
Oh dear.
So, good news, ladies and gentlemen. Pete Donaldson, the serial Japanophile. Oh, it sounds not really sure. Wrong.
Yeah, I don't like the addition of cereal. I mean, there is no good thing you can do in cereal. Cereal murderer, cereal sexual menace. There's nothing good happens in cereal apart from fairy lights. Or is that parallel? I always forget. They used to teach you in school the difference between cereal electricity and parallel electricity. And one of them works in parallel. I think it might be parallel. Carry on, Chris. Sorry.
I don't have to get have to recover from that. Serial Japanophile, Mr. Pete Donaldson, is coming to Japan again.
Yay!
Which is something he does a lot. Well, at least twice a year, it seems.
I look at where I can go, I take a week or so off, and then I go, right, I could go to a place I've never been before. India, South America, Russia. And then my hand, like as if controlled by some unseen force. It could be a good anime, this. I'm always ordering. I go on to the JAL or, you know, British Airways thing and book flights to Japan. Like I'm a weird, strange man. But yeah, coming back for a few days. Be lovely. I want to see my boy Chris.
Well, I guess as a Japanophile, it's essential.
Yeah, massively.
To kind of renew your credentials, right? People often ask, what makes Pete a Japanophile?
Spending limitless amounts of money on going.
It's just because he comes to Japan a lot, at least once a year, which is more than anyone else I know. Yeah. I don't know how you can find the time or money to do it, but it's great to have you over. And we'll be meeting up in Tokyo for the first time ever, because yeah. I realised the other day the two times we've met in Tokyo, in Japan, we've always met in really obscure places like Yamagata or a field by a lake near Kyoto somewhere. We always meet really weird places, so it'd be nice to meet in Tokyo once and for all and get up to some fun and hijinks there.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, me and you will be going straight to the Sky Tree, and then we'll be going to Golden Guy, and then the Robot Cafe, all the classics.
Have you been to the Robot Restaurant?
I've never actually been to the Robot Restaurant, like, admittedly. I've never been to it. No, I've got to go.
You've got to do it.
Oh, but it's so loud.
In Japan, in June... sometime in the latter half of June, go to Robot Restaurant and you might see Pete and I sitting in the audience waving our glow sticks and drinking Strong Zero.
Yay!
Yeah, it'd be fun, though. I'm looking forward to it. It should be good.
Yeah. Let's
maybe
do
we'll
something.
We'll make a video. Probably
yeah,
won't.
We will.
But we'll try.
You've always got your camera
do
on.
Do something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stick it at the end
what
of one
you
of your
in
better
Japan,
videos.
Like?
Just doing the usual thing, like a mate said he wanted to go. And I sort of went, oh, okay then, fine. I'll come with you and we'll, you know, go around. But
any
the problem
excuse.
Is, you do end up seeing the same thing over and over again. He says he wants to go to Hiroshima. He wants to go to like Himeji Castle. I'm like, or Osaka Castle. I'm like, these are all the things. So I'll just let him do what he wants, and then I'll just go to the places that I want to go to. So there we go. I want to kind of explore the South Island. Is it Kyushu?
Kyushu.
Not really an island, I guess, is it? But I've not really seen much of that apart from Fukuoka and Nagasaki. So I want to kind of do a little tour around there, and maybe climb Mount Fuji. The season starts on July 1st, but I reckon we can sneak up there without anyone knowing. How did Peter die?
You're genuinely going to climb Mount Fuji?
Yeah, because I've never done it before. Like, we were talking about this a few weeks ago. It might be quite fun to sort of do it in, like, just get up really early in the morning, go to one of the easier climbs, or the quicker climbs, rather, and just get up there and get down there. But the problem with doing it out of season is that none of the stations are open, none of the hotels, none of the little shelters are open, so if the weather gets a bit rough, we might be a bit fucked. And also, you've got to bring your own toilet as well. I've been having a read up on things. So, yeah, do it on season. Christ, yeah. It might be busier, but it's certainly safer.
I reckon you should film it.
Yeah?
That'd be amazing. Yeah, film it for me. Oh, and everyone.
And everyone. Yeah. If you provide the GoPro. I'm not carrying anything heavier than a GoPro, for crying out loud.
I will happily provide you with a GoPro.
Okay,
if you film it, I will definitely give you a GoPro.
All right, darling.
Because I would pay great money to see you going up Mount Fuji, or attempting to do so. I think you could probably do it. If I could do it, you can certainly do it. You're fitter than I am.
I'm not.
So I
play one game of football every 2 weeks. That's how football-y I am.
It's more than I do. But when you're coming over with your friends, do show them Abroad in Japan videos.
Yes.
We did have a Hiroshima video out just last week. It's 6 years I've lived in Japan. I wanted to always make a video on Hiroshima. For some reason, I never did it, even though I visited there 3 or 4 times. I think it's because every time I'm in Hiroshima, I kind of just want to relax and eat okonomiyaki and just have fun. And this time, finally, I filmed it. And so if you're looking, you want to see what Hiroshima looks like, ladies and gentlemen, do go and check it out on the Abroad Japan channel. I think it's called, as if I don't know, 24 Hours in Hiroshima, 6 Things You Need to Do. And one of those things, of course, is the pizza vending machine, which we first revealed, I think, 6 months ago, didn't we, on this podcast?
Yeah, I enjoyed that video very much, especially because you got to the end of eating your pizza and then realised there were 3 pizza cutters built into the machine. And you're like, oh, for crying out
loud. So we got this, the pizza vending machine, to finish off the saga of the pizza vending machine that began 6 months ago when we discussed it in a podcast. It was pretty average. It was about 5 or 6 out of 10. The pizza wasn't too bad. It was oven cooked. It takes about, I think, 3 or 4 minutes. So you put in about 1,000 yen, about $10, and you wait 3 or 4 minutes, then it comes out, just dispenses like a photo booth. It just sort of slides out the back somewhere. And there you have it. But the problem I had was I was standing in this car park. I think it was about 11 o'clock at night, and I had no pizza cutter. And I'm just sort of standing in the car park, eating this pizza. And it was pretty difficult. But then afterwards, literally 20 seconds after we finished the pizza, we discovered at the bottom of the vending machine, there was like a little box. And it's got pizza cutters and all sorts of equipment in there that you could just take for free. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I felt like a mug for not seeing it earlier. But it was it was good to try it finally, once and for all.
Yeah, it looked pretty good.
Maybe it was a bit misplaced going to Hiroshima. It's a great cultural city, seeing things like the atomic bomb dome and the Itsukushima shrine, and then just going to a pizza vending machine. But I don't regret it. I would do it again. And though I did recommend it in the video as the sixth thing to do, the sixth thing on my list, I probably wouldn't recommend going and doing it. There's probably better things you should do in Hiroshima. It's more like a little bonus.
Yeah.
But you have to go, Pete. You're obliged to go.
Well, I did go to Hiroshima before, but I didn't spend that long there. I think you just kind of... I think I've told that story before where we met that man who was a Marine and he was drinking Strong Zero or some kind of very strong alcohol at like 11 o'clock in the morning, and he told us about a topless bar. I was like, mate, have some respect. Y'all lot did this.
Speaking of drunk... there's a video that's been doing the rounds on Twitter recently that made my day. And it is just of this old Japanese dude standing on a train, and every time the train doors shut, he sticks his hand out and just reopens the doors again, blocks the door. And it goes on for over a minute, to the point where staff from the train station keep coming over and pushing his hand back in. And just as the doors go shut once more, he puts his hand back through and delays the train even further. You can go on my Twitter and check it out, or just type in "man stops train from leaving station in Japan," and it's pretty funny. It looks like something out of a sitcom. This man with a shopping bag, looking rather disgruntled. I don't know if he's drunk or just a dickhead. But what amazed me the most in the video, if you watch it, you see him. He reopens the doors at least 10 to 12 times. It's all the people on the train are just standing there. The train's really full, and they're just sort of standing there watching him do it, and they're not doing anything.
Yeah.
It's typical. Kind of Japan, nobody's intervening in the public mayhem. Whereas if it was the UK, I think he'd probably been thrown off the train or punched in the face.
Oh, man, he is a sociopath, this gentleman. I can't tell whether he's drunk, but he's certainly a goddamn sociopath. He just won't let the train leave. And, he's not a great example. We've had a lot of stories on this podcast about foreigners coming over to Japan and being just obscene. But this guy's doing his bit, isn't he?
Doing his bit to be a dick. I learned a new word from it, actually. It's quite interesting. There's a word. It turns out there's a Japanese word for this kind of person. An elderly problem-causing man. It's rogai. No, it kind of means old, and guy just means idiot, I think. It's no guy, and it just means, just a problem-causing old person. It's quite common in Japan. This is another word I learned, gerontocracy. Do you know this word, gerontocracy?
Well, I guess it's kind of like related to geriatric, isn't it?
Gerontocracy is when elders exert excessive control over the young, which is actually a serious problem in Japan. But yeah, no guy.
Well, not gerontophile, that means you'd probably want to have sex with them. when you kill an old person, I can't remember now. But that's got the je in it as well. But I like the idea of, rogai, the old people excessive, and their excessive force on the youth. Very much how Brexit happened in the UK, you would sort of argue.
Yeah. Old people, innit? I mean, it's a real problem in Japan, though. Old people... I read an article that crimes are on the rise in Japan for amongst old people.
Right.
I even read a story that elderly people in Japan are wanting to get into prison just because they were kind of feeling a bit excluded and left out in society. Obviously, it's a rare thing. I don't think most old people are doing this. But, I read it's on the rise. Old people creating problems for people and undertaking... annoying, like pesky crime, like putting their hands in doors to stop trains or nicking a bit of fried chicken at a family mart. Like, really troublesome, crappy crime.
To be fair, if you're able to steal a bit of fried chicken from a family mart, good on you, because it's behind glass, you can't get to it, you've got to be served it, and then you'd run out. See you later, dickheads.
It would take some sort of technique.
Yeah.
But that's not what we're here... This week... Another article I saw, though, is that every 3 or 4 months, there's always articles or stories coming out about Japan and how people don't seem to like having sex anymore. And this week it was revealed that about 1 in 4 Japanese adults in their 20s and 30s is a virgin. And in fact, 1 in 10 Japanese men are 40-year-old virgins. It kind of goes hand in hand with the drop in population that's forecast going forward. Japan's population at the moment is 126 million.
Right.
But by 2050, it's forecast to drop beneath 100 million. And whilst that's probably good to some degree, because Japan will finally not be so ridiculously crowded, there's nothing like when you walk through Tokyo on a weekday, 5 p.m, you can't help but think less population is a good thing. But economically, it would ruin the country entirely. It would just, it's going to really cause problems for the country. And people aren't having sex to sort it out.
Mm.
Why not?
I imagine probably because...
Put you on the spot. Give me some answers, Pete.
I reckon it's because men have weird ideas, thanks to their pornography that they consume, about what is acceptable and what's not acceptable in sex. And that is a problem the whole world round, I would argue. There's all kinds of nonsense going on in those things. In the West and the East.
I'd argue it's more for economic reasons, but yeah, each their own. I think there's no one reason. Mm. There's no one reason. They found public health experts at the University of Tokyo found that sexual inexperience was on the rise, with the percentage of women aged 18 to 39 who'd never had sex rising to 24.6%.
Wow.
And it was just 21.7% in 1992. Whereas for men, it was even worse. 25.8% were virgins in 2015, and that's up from 20% in 1992. Whereas in the UK and the US and Australia, it's more between 1 to 5% for people in their 30s who haven't had sex. I think it's mainly due to the economic situation of Japan. After the 80s, obviously, Japan's economy went down the pan. People started worrying. And I know a lot of couples don't want kids now because of the financial burden of having children. It's hard enough to live in Japan, let alone having kids. But, yeah, I guess... I don't know. I don't think anybody has a definitive answer. I think it's a number of problems.
Mm.
Yeah, it's a number of issues.
I think it's like there's a situation where I think the thing that was, like, saddens me is if you've got a real kind of complex about it and you think that, you know, you get to 35, 40 and you haven't had sex, the first couple of times you have sex is invariably going to be terrible because you don't know what the fuck you're doing. So, like, imagine having, like, terrible sex for the first time. My first sexual experience wasn't too bad, but I know a lot of people who had terrible sex when they first started because, you know, you're young. And you get to that
place... Surely regardless of your age, you just have terrible sex.
Yeah, but, like, but imagine getting to that age and then going, what, I waited my whole life for this nonsense. But surely it must also be about... there's a lot of gossip. It's quite gossipy, isn't it? Kind of your reputation. You have to stand in your reputation as a Japanese person. So if you're promiscuous, you don't want to be seen as being someone who's easy or who spreads his or her favours too liberally around the place. So it's kind of like it's all about honour and respect and all that jazz, all that nonsense that doesn't mean anything really. You don't want to be seen as someone who just has sex all the time, maybe.
Potentially.
I
think there's a real big stigma around it all.
Yeah.
Just finding a partner in Japan. There's a system where, certainly before the days of Tinder, a lot of Japanese people met at parties where you have these special parties. I was at Hub in Sendai not too long ago. Mm. It was one of these parties going on. Where about 20 women show up, 20 men show up, they pay in advance, whatever. And they come along, and the idea is to kind of network, or rather just try and find someone to hook up with and have a date and whatnot. That's quite a popular. It's a very popular system. I'm trying to remember the word. It ends with Kai, because Kai means party in Japan. Something Kai. Damn it, can't remember what it is. But
Hubba-kai.
It's a very common system.
Yeah? Hubba-kai.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/cardcalculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City Branch, subject to credit approval, terms apply.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
Habakai. Getting drunk in Harbin and trying to pull people. To be fair, I think that's what most foreign people seem to do in Tokyo. But yeah, and it's quite popular to do that. But you never see, it's very rare to see people chat anyone up at a bar in Japan, unless they are really wasted, in which case it's fairly common. But certainly compared to the West, I think people just are very wary of approaching strangers in Japan and just striking up a conversation.
Oh, my dear boy, you've never been to Nichome in Shinjuku, the gay district. My friend, I could have...
My night out in Japan was in Nichome.
I could have had a lovely time that night, I reckon.
Did you get any numbers?
No, just a lot of... like linking of arms. It was a bit weird.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Fun. Fun.
The linking of arms.
Yeah. Very strange.
But there you go. We don't have any answers to the situation.
No.
I don't think most people do. It's a mixture of issues going on. This was actually a question Melissa sent in. Says, hey, Chris and Pete, just wanted to say I love your podcast. I absolutely hate mornings and hate work even more. I've been binging the podcast and it's been an absolute game changer. I can't start my day without listening to Chris's sexy voice.
Ooh.
And Pete's hilarious and contagious energy. Contagious energy.
Sexy voice.
No sexy voice. I'm lucky, mate. But... Melissa's question was, today I read about how a quarter of straight Japanese men or women are virgins because most men are afraid of rejection. It even stated that this is a national concern. What are your thoughts on this? Love the podcast, boys. Keep up the amazing work, Melissa. So, rejection. I think that's definitely a key factor. If you think rejection's bad in the West, it's twice as unpleasant in Japan, I think. As much more, many more people are scared of rejection than back home.
Right.
I remember rejection was an issue for me, actually. I was really scared of rejection up until the age of about 15. I was terrified to go near anyone and ask them out on a date, because when I was 10 years old, there was a girl I really liked at school, and I asked my friend to go and ask them on a date for me because I was too scared.
Yeah.
And she said no.
Oh.
Since then, for the next 5-6 years, I was like, I'll never ask anyone out again.
B-road busted.
Fortunately, the situation resolved itself around the age of 15 when I got too cocky.
Yeah, I think it's nice to have a bit of a mixture of both situations. But I don't think I've ever asked anyone out. Everyone always has to ask me because I'm incredibly shy.
They come to
and
you,
again,
don't
I'm
they?
Completely afraid of rejection, massively. I've got to know it's kind of on the card, sort of, before I do anything.
Really? I thought you were the complete antithesis
to
rejection.
Nah, I know people who will, you know, they'll walk around the room, they'll have a go asking everyone out. You know, if 10% ask you to say yes, they're... And, you know, people like confidence, but I don't have confidence, so it's fine. It's fine.
That's where Mr. Alcohol comes right
in. That's where Mr. Alcohol comes in.
my confidence and fear of rejection, my fear of rejection nosedived after I discovered alcohol. So seems to be that's the trick.
Definitely.
We've got some questions sent in by you guys. The first one's from Minxie. It says, hi, Pete.
Yo.
Three exclamation marks.
Hello.
And Chris. Okay, this is a Pete fan.
Yeah.
What is the most popular foreign nationality in Japan? Is it even remotely acceptable to be French? Or should I masquerade as a Brit or German if I can speak the languages? Thanks anyway. Keep up the good work. An amazing podcast, Pete. Minxie. Mm.
Cheers, mate.
You've got a French fan. That's lovely. What is the most popular foreign nationality in Japan, Pete?
It's France, isn't it? It's French. They love the French. They absolutely love the French.
I don't know if they love the French.
They
love
like the French,
French culture, certainly food and the aesthetic. Yeah,
but you would definitely
Japanese fine dining comes from France.
Yeah, you would definitely find a home in Japan if you're French. But they absolutely love the French. It's crazy.
I can't say what the most popular foreign nationality in Japan is. I know what the least two favourite are.
Mm.
You can probably guess what they are.
US.
No. US is pretty popular, I'd say.
Oh.
American people will be loved the world over if they come to Japan.
Well, they're always very friendly.
But there are... I think if you're from Korea or China, I guess it's less... Not as... particularly Korea. I don't know why. A lot of Japanese people don't like Koreans. There's all sorts of historic reasons, even today. And there's always the comfort women issue going on, raging on overhead. About wartime things, but I find those are the only two nationalities where you could have some trouble. But even then, Japanese people are never—I've never really seen Japanese people being overly or openly racist or discriminatory. I've never experienced it myself, so I don't know. I don't know what the most popular foreign nationality is. I think if you're British, German, or French, you'll be fine if you come to Japan. So you don't need to put on an accent or learn a new language just for your trip to Japan. So don't worry about it.
And goodness knows the kind of the Europeans, they're quite quiet. I think you'd probably say they're quite quiet, so they probably fit in quite well. I like being quiet. That's what I like doing.
Are you going to... Minxie is clearly your biggest fan. I think you should send a signed Pete Donaldson photo.
Imagine if I had photographs of myself. Just imagine that. Imagine how weird. What a weird world that would be. Shall I move on to Colin's email? Hello, Colin.
Yes.
Hello, Chris and Pete. My name is Colin. I live in Tacoma, Washington, which is 30 minutes south of Chris's alter ego in Seattle. I once heard that people in the UK tend not to encourage others to pursue their goals or dreams and have more of an attitude of what's the point. And I'm wondering if this is true and what is the attitude towards pursuing dreams in Japan. Thanks for the entertainment. You guys are awesome. Thank you, Colin, for your kind words and your question.
UK people tend not to encourage others to pursue their dreams or goals.
Well, is that Morrissey song, isn't there? We hate it when our friends become successful or famous. I can't remember what it's called, but yeah.
That is not a Morrissey song.
That is not a Morrissey. It probably is.
That does sound like the sort of thing he'd sing about. But I'd say just British people are very cynical when it comes to dreams or goals. Certainly, it's so different from America, where you believe you can be an astronaut or the president or anything. Whereas in the UK, I remember when I would tell people I wanted to go to Japan, they sort of sneered and laughed. I remember I used to work at this office job doing energy stuff. It was the most boring, crappiest job anyone's ever had in the UK ever. And it was so boring, just sitting this Excel spreadsheets all day. But I would often just go and sit in the car, my lunch break, my 45 minutes of freedom that I had four or five times a week, and I would just sit and read books about entrepreneurs or business owners and just try and escape and dream about a life that didn't involve looking at bloody Microsoft Excel 5 days a week. And often, I remember people found it ridiculous, and to be fair, it was pretty funny, me just going off to the car at lunch breaks with a book titled something like How to Get Rich. But at the same time, people weren't overly encouraging about it. Don't know, maybe that's just where I'm from, in Kent, in the south. What about you, Pete?
I think
held up north.
Certainly among the working classes, which I certainly started out as, there's a sort of like a genuine feeling, I think, sometimes of don't get above your station. That's very much tied into the British psyche.
Certainly, I think if you always dreaming about something that doesn't come to fruition, it can cause you lots of mental health issues.
Mm.
I often compare Japan to America, which are kind of, I think they're opposite ends of the spectrum when it comes to this, mainly due to individualism versus collectivism. But in Japan, I guess you're not really encouraged to dream big because it might take you away from your family or it might cause all sorts of problems. There's all sorts of threats and risks to the family unit if you do go off and do something like gamble your future on something
yeah.
risky. It's more risk-averse culture. But generally, when I go back to teaching, when I think about how the students I taught, many of them didn't really have any big dreams. They just sort of planned the next few years ahead. And most kids I just asked, they just sort of said, I want to be an office worker. It was very much a case of they just wanted to just fit into society. And I suppose that's good and bad, depending on which way you look at it. If you don't have big expectations, you're not going to be crushed later on in life and have anxiety or depression if you dream of your life being something that doesn't come about. Whereas if you don't dream about anything, then that's not going to happen. But at the same time, maybe you won't live a fulfilling life. I don't know. Lots of philosophical questions there. But I don't know. I'm certainly drawn towards Japanese people that do pursue dreams and are bold and ambitious and entrepreneurial, though. And that's why my closest friends are all business owners, I realise, like Ryotaro or my friend Yuki, or even Natsuki, who owns his own business, even if it is the trapping of his own existence, because he has to work 6 days a week for himself. Last question from Jason. He says, hey guys, this is my first submission to the fax machine. My name's Jason from Vancouver, Canada, and I have two questions for you guys. Number one, Chris, what's the story behind the CGI plane crash that you've had in a couple of videos? And number two, what are your opinions on the upcoming 2020 Olympics and what plans do you have around that time? Really enjoying the podcast. Keep up the fantastic work, Jason. The CGI plane crash. Have you seen that, Pete?
Yeah, wasn't that like... was it from like an app or something? I can't remember now.
How dare you question my
skills.
CGI skills. Yeah, it was an app. It was an app. I was making a video. The first time I put it in a video was in the KFC Christmas fried chicken, KFC Christmas meal video, where I just ordered a KFC for Christmas, which is popular in Japan. And I just had this random scene of me running through some snow and diving in front of a CGI plane crash. And it kind of worked quite well. It came out better than I hoped. It was just an app that I had on my phone. And I thought I'd spruce the videos up and do something a little bit bold to try and... make the channel more popular. Didn't really work, but I've certainly enjoyed that scene and I've used it several times over the years because it's one of the most exciting action-packed sequences on the Abroad in Japan channel ever. Probably unlikely to be repeated unless we make Ryotaro the movie, which will be Ryotaro just being blown up, probably. I do that every day. As for the 2020 Olympics, do you have any plans, Pete? Are you actually going to come over?
Well, I'm not a big track and field kind of guy. I'm not a big Olympics guy. Even less so the old rugby as well. So yeah, it's probably not. To be honest, I think the hotels will be more expensive. You won't be able to. Yeah, it's going to be interesting, isn't it? I mean, it's been a while since they've hosted something so gargantuan. When was the last one? Probably World Cup 2002.
Yeah,
interesting.
I mean, I don't give a toss about sports, really. Mm. I left the UK just as the 2012 Olympics were kicking off. I think I flew out the morning, the actual first day of the Olympics.
Right, okay.
And so I missed it then. And for Japan, for the 2020 Olympics, I might just fly out then as well, because it'll be so damn busy here.
Take a little holiday.
Take a holiday. But certainly in the run-up to the Olympics, I do have a lot of plans. I'm going to make a ton of travel videos related to Tokyo because I know that's where most foreign travellers are going to end up, so it makes sense to kind of have a big travel series set in Tokyo that lots of people are going to watch and find useful. So that's the only thing I've really got planned at the moment, but you never know. I was in a video that might be shown at the Olympics or around the time of the Olympics promoting Tohoku. So that's my contribution to it. But for the actual Olympics, I'll be hiding either in a cave or I won't be in Japan, just to avoid the chaos, I think.
Yeah, but you've got to remember that people will be very excited about going to Japan, so they'll be watching your videos and possibly even listening to the podcast. Maybe some people are planning to be there and they're listening to the podcast for that reason.
That could be true. I don't know. Are you listening? for the podcast, guys, for the 2020 Olympics? Let us know. Send in your comments, questions and stories to abroadjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back same time next week. But for now, guys, no matter where you might be out there in the big wide world, have a great week and we'll see you next Thursday. Bye for now.
Bye.
Up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.